Hebrews 6. Verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I pray, dear God, for the filling of your Holy Spirit, that I may teach the word of God to your church tonight. We thank you for the word that's gone forth already in this place and the privilege that we have had to worship your name. And I pray that it has been pleasing unto you, dear God, as I pray tonight would be as well. Lord, edify your church and guide and direct me in teaching this this lesson tonight. And Lord, might we just be drawn closer to you today, encouraged to look to you, to live for you, to love you, and to labor for you, Father, as you provide the opportunities that you give. And Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask you, Lord, these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are looking at passages in the Bible that seem to contradict the doctrine of eternal security. They seem to say, at least to some people, that you can lose your salvation. They are used in that way many times, taken out of context. And we are looking at some of those passages. Looking at this passage last week, we began asking ourselves, who is the writer of Hebrews talking to here? And there are several views. It's talking about they're talking about Jewish people that are almost saved, but not quite there. They're kind of in the back and forth decision. And if they don't make that decision, then they, you know, if they turn away from it, they're going to be, you know, rejected and such. Some say it's a hypothetical case. You know, if they fell away, well, they wouldn't be able to save again. If you did lose your salvation, well, then you wouldn't be able to be saved again because Jesus would have to die for you again. That's not going to happen. By the way, even the people that believe you can lose your salvation don't translate the verse that way. Just kind of another interpretation there. A warning directed to believers who have fallen into sin. We'll look at some details of that. And so we see these different views. Now, as we're looking at this, we saw last week, we looked at who is being warned. They're definitely Jewish Christians. Some people taught there's an exemption because they're Jews, doesn't apply to us. No. It's during the church age we learned that Jew and Gentile alike, what applies to the Jew during the church age applies to the Gentile during the church age. There are some things before the church age about the Jew don't apply to us. Some things after the church age about the Jew don't apply to us. Anything in the church age that applies to the Jew applies to you and I, okay? Because that's the way that God's working right now in this age. This is talking to Jewish Christians in the church age, so it also applies to us, Jewish Jewish believers. And so we saw that. We looked at some of the terms in here, how strong they were. Tasted, meaning tasted fully. Made partakers of the Holy Ghost and all these things. And we looked at elsewhere in the Bible, those terms, how they're used. Clearly, they're very powerful terms referring to people that are saved, people that are Christians. So we came to the conclusion last week through the study of the Word of God that the best interpretation shows that this is a warning to believers. And so we're going to consider what is the warning then that's being talked about here. So again, some say, well, it's a hypothetical statement. If a believer could lose his salvation, then it'd be impossible for him to be saved again. And I mentioned Arminian people don't even hold that. So they don't hold that interpretation. But the wording does seem to indicate that it is possible to fall away and to put the Son of God to an open shame. And the illustration also indicates a warning of punishment for the action. Hebrews 6:7, for the earth which drinketh forth in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, talks about that, and meat for whom it's dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So a blessing for bringing forth the good fruit, and a chastisement perhaps, or punishment for bringing forth the thorns and briars. Using like the earth as an illustration there. So the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the Hebrew Christians to go on to maturity. Verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us what? Go on to perfection. Go on to maturity, he's talking about there. And not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We have to understand that the people that the writer of Hebrews, that God is addressing through the writer of Hebrews by the Holy Spirit, they have been saved for a while. Okay? This isn't someone who just got saved and now they're just made a wrong choice. No, they've been saved for a while. They should not have been where they're at in their spiritual growth. Matter of fact, Hebrews 5:11, and 5:12, Hebrews 5:12, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. They should be unraveling these passages of the scripture and teaching it to others. They should be able to be teaching some of the more deeper things in the scripture, but they're like babes yet. God is chastening them for their laziness in their spiritual growth, for their lethargy in their spiritual growth. So what is the warning and the consequence of this disobedience? Well, the falling away again here seems to speak of a believer who lives his life in willful sin and neglect of the things of God. These believers likely have, being Jewish, they have been saved. And they've been saved long enough to know now it's time to leave the sacrifice and temple and stuff behind. It's time to go on unto the things of the faith. They're perhaps trying to mix some common things. He mentioned some things like baptisms and eternal judgment there in the beginning. You know, some things that the Jewish had cleansing rites and baptism, different kinds of things they had there. And so they would kind of mix these things in so they were a little less offensive to their Jewish brethren. They mixed Christianity with the Judaism. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, it's time to go forward. And if you're still mixing those things in, and it's time to go away from the baby things of Christ and go on to greater things. He wants them to go on from their spiritual lethargy. And what he's saying here is, he says in verse 3, he says, and this will we do if God permit. If God permit. We'll go on if God permit. So what is he saying there? How does one heed this warning and avoid the consequences? Well, what he's saying here is, we are to run the race for God. We are to go on. They have been negligent in their spiritual growth. They've been adding these, hanging on to the temple sacrifice and all these things. And now, what are you saying? This is what we do if God permit. Now, I'm going to give you, again, I've mentioned this is believed by many to be one of the hardest passages of Scripture to interpret. That was the way that J. Vernon McGee put it. And I don't know why I picked these two to start with, Matthew 24 and now this one. I want to tell you that I'm going to give you my opinion of what I think it believes. And I will tell you this. I have not read my opinion anywhere. Okay, so red flag. All right. Check it out. Okay. I have. Now, there are similarities to others. And by the way, there are many. Interpretations of what he's saying here. I'll just give you just a few of what's being said here. If I find what I did with my paper I had it written on here. Not in there. Where did I put it? My Bible. Did I leave a paper back there in the chair? This is my... You don't want my sermon from this morning again, do you? No, we don't want to do that. Well, I'll just tell you from best I can from memory. Matthew Henry believes that these people aren't actually saved. Yeah. In his commentary, he goes along with the parables of, we have the parable of the seed and the sower, and you have the seed that falls on the hard ground. And what happens? Immediately the fowls of the air come and take it up. Fowls of the air represent demonic beings. The devil comes and snatches away. Interesting that the devil has free access to their heart to take it away that quickly. That's the hard ground. Then you have the seed that falls on the stony ground, and it's not much depth of earth, but the stones warm it up, and because it's warm and it gets a little moisture real quick on the top, that seed springs up. But because it's on that rock, once it gets heated up too much, what happens? And it shrivels away. It never does get a root. Christ is the root of David. And so many believe that those first two never actually reach salvation. They never bring forth fruit, and they wither. The one is just unsaved, hardened, and doesn't receive it at all. The other is an emotional reception, just on the very surface level. Oh, everybody's excited at the revival meeting. Everybody's going down to the altar. I'm going to go down too. All my friends went down. You know, it's an emotional level. Nothing deep down in the heart. And of course, when Christianity is not popular, then guess what? I don't want it anymore. Why? Because I never really got saved. It was never down in the heart. So the first two, many believe, are the kind of the emotional thing. And Matthew Henry goes that way. And also Chuck Smith, who's involved with, I think, the Calvary Chapel movement, if I remember correctly. He goes that way as well. And he admits frankly, though, in this passage that he believes that, but that he says in his commentary, he says, but I have to admit, when the Bible says it's impossible for them who've fallen away to renew them unto repentance, I don't know what that means. He says, I don't know what it's... I can't tell you what that means. What he says is, all I can tell you is, if you are someone who wants to get right with God, then that doesn't apply to you, because you, if it was impossible to renew you to repentance, you wouldn't be wanting to get right with God. And he says, if you're one of those that says, well, I don't want nothing to do with that, he says, then maybe that's you and you should fear. So he kind of doesn't really give you an answer. He says, I don't know. J. Vernon McGee says the passage is not about salvation at all. The passage is, which, by the way, I don't think it's talking about salvation either, but I'll show you. But he says it's all talking about works. It's all talking about works. J. Vernon McGee says, the scripture says, it's impossible to renew them unto repentance. Not talking about salvation, but repentance. And he says, repentance is a word associated with Christians. And he refers to in Revelation, the first three chapters about the churches. Jesus Christ said to every one of the churches, what? Repent.
and do the right, talking about their works. J. Vernon McGee believes this is wholly talking about works. And so what believers have done is they're doing the wrong kind of works. And they've fallen away and such. And so he believes that those who have chosen that course, it's impossible to renew them under repentance. He talks about the earth bringing forth the briars and some of it, that which brings forth good fruit is blessed. That which brings forth briars is what? It's rejected and burned. If your garden brings forth good fruit, what do? You till it up some more. You put some fertilizer in it. You treat it well. You pick the stuff out of it. But if it just bears, if it bears it up, if that piece of ground does bring forth is waste and thorns, what do? You burn it or whatever, so you can start over again. And so he talks about, he believes it has to do with works, as far as your works being burned up, the judgment seat of Christ. And talks about those things. So I think it has to do with our Christian life. Where I veer from J. Vernon McGee is he makes the comparison of what's going to happen. He says it's impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again under repentance. By the way, repentance doesn't always just refer to Christians, does it? Many times it refers to what? Salvation. What did Peter say? Repent and believe the gospel. That was the whole message. Repent and believe the gospel. So to say repentance is a phrase that just refers to salvation, that's not, we find it all, I mean, refers to works and believers. We find it also refers to people being saved. So you couldn't narrow it down by that, as he had mentioned in his commentary. Where I was going with that. Help me to remember. here's where I veer from him in that. He says, talking about when things are burned up, that's your works, and or rewarded, that's your works. But look at verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receive it blessing from God. Now, what received the blessing there? The fruits, or the earth that brought forth the fruits? What's it talking about there? It's talking about the earth that brought forth the fruits, isn't it? Now, look at verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. What's rejected? The thorns or the briars, or that which beareth the thorns and the briars? What is it? In that illustration, it's that which beareth the thorns and the briars. So it's not the good fruits being wonderful and the bad fruits being burned up. It's what brought forth those fruits that's being addressed. You see? And guess what? That points to the people. And so that's where I would say it's not just works. And so I'll give you what I lean toward on this passage here. What is the warning and the consequence of disobedience? What he says there is give me some time. Give me a minute here. Oh, verse 3. He says, let's go back to the beginning of the other verses, and I'm just going to give you a synopsis of what I see in this passage here. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead. We need to go on in our Christian life.
We don't want to be talking about the baby things of salvation all the time. Doctrines of baptisms, I think that's talking about the early doctrines, like what was the difference between John's baptism and Christ's baptism. Remember the 12 apostles? Remember the 12 or the disciples that the apostle Paul found in Ephesus? They had been baptized under Apollos' preaching, but that was the baptism of John. And so what did Paul do? John pointed to Christ. And so Paul baptized in the name of Christ. So there was some issues about baptism. Not John's baptism, Christ's baptism, and also the Jewish baptism, which, by the way, now meant nothing. And so they were to get that straight, what? And go on. Let's not tarry on that stuff. They were tarrying on that stuff, mixing it around. And by the way, far too long, to the point of rebuke. They were tarrying in that stuff. Let's go on. Continue laying those foundations again. Verse 3, and this will we do if God permit. If God allows us. Well, let's just go on and we'll grow now. We're going to repent. Wait a minute. You've been saved long enough to be teachers. God may not let you repent. God may take you home now. I think that's what the warning is. You see, the ground that didn't bring forth the good fruit when it should have, got what? Destroyed. It got burnt, didn't it? And the ground that brought forth the good fruit got what? Rewarded. Remember that one that the Apostle Paul talked about? He got put out of the church, and he was cast out of the church, and he was delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the body may be saved, the spirit may be saved, the day of the Lord Jesus. Remember that? So what he's saying is, this person is not living for God. And by the way, they are a public example. They are a public, in a sense, disgrace to the doctrine of Christ. When it says that these that have fallen away, it talks about them crucifying Christ afresh. Their sin is such that they should have been preaching Christ and the deeper things of Christ, and they were living and teaching still the things of Judaism and the things of works, old dead works. I mean, they were doing this publicly. And now they're going to say, well, we're just going to go and get it right now. Well, wait a minute. You will if God lets you, because you've been disobedient to God. You see what I'm saying? And so there's a warning there. He says, this will we do if God permit. And he says, because it's impossible if you're once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good word of God, verse 5, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. I think what he's saying there is this. Listen, well, We're going to go back. We're going to just trust Christ wholly now. We're going to preach Christ alone. Now we're going to draw this other stuff. Listen, you only get saved once. You can't go back and get saved again. Can we start over? We remember that fresh repentance that we had when we received Christ, and how our eyes were opened and we saw that salvation was a gift, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus. But then we were tempted by our brethren around us, and we chose to begin going back into those other things. You see what I'm saying? And now, they should have been teachers. And now they're being rebuked by the writer of Scripture. And now they say, let's go back here. Can we go back here and start again? No, you can't start again. You can't start over again. Because God has the prerogative now that you have been living this way for so long that when you should have been teachers, You're of the truth. In fact, you're continuing to be false teachers by your choice. You've fallen away. God has the right what? To take you out. So, if God permit, then we'll go on unto perfection. It's going to be up to God. But they believed, the writer of Hebrews believed, that God would do that. Look at verse 9. He says, but beloved, and we're talking to Christians here, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. See, they're saved, though we thus speak. Although we've given this drastic warning, we have hope for you. We know that you only go on if God permit. We realize that, but we think that he will. You know, because of what he's done in the past for you. Look at look what he says here. He says, for God is not unrighteous, verse 10, to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. See what he's saying? We desire, and then he goes on to say, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence and full assurance of hope unto the end. And here's what he say, that ye be not slothful, get out of it, but followers of them who through faith and patience, what? Inherit the promises. That's what I believe that's what he's saying there. And to me, that fits all the criteria of that passage. It's a warning that God has the right to remove you if you're bringing forth thorns and briars when you ought to be bringing forth good fruit. And can I just start all over again? If God lets you, you can't go back to repentance. You can't go back to salvation. Now you're under God's, you weren't not God's children. Then you got saved. Now you're God's children. And if need be, you're under his chastening program. You're not talking about salvation anymore. So no, you can't just figure that you'll go as far as you want to go. And whenever you can, you'll come back to God. No, you'll come back to God if God lets you. He may just take you home. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He says, but we've seen God's mercy in your life. And their spirit felt like, but I think God's going to be merciful to you. And we're persuaded that he's willing to take you on from there if you'll leave this dullness, if you'll leave this lethargy, and if you will finally, as you should have done a long time ago, if you'll finally go on unto perfection. And so I think that covers all of those things without leaving the loose ends that I see in the other. By the way, when he says that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, remember, it's that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. That rejected is the same word about the Apostle Paul. When he said, I keep unto my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be made what? A castaway. It's the same word, rejected, disapproved. So Paul was saying, I also follow God. He says, and I realize that I have to grow in maturity, or else God may what? Set me on the shelf. God may what? Take me out and be done with me. That word rejected there, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing. Ready to be set aside, nigh unto cursing. The Bible talks about a believer who doesn't take care of his own. He is what? Worse than an imp, hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You see, those believers, those Hebrew believers who had received Jesus Christ as Savior, but now by their dull lives and their false teaching, were what? They were doing more harm to the gospel than the heathen, than the reprobates. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why they're walking on thin ice. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, this will we do if God permit. We're under a different standing now with God. But we believe that he will be merciful and he will let us go on if we'll repent and get those things right and then go on to maturity. And so it all lines up with that when we look at it in that respect. God calls us to bring forth fruit. He wants us to bring forth good fruit. And we will bring forth good fruit as we yield to the Holy Spirit. But we walk in the flesh. What do we bring forth? Thorns and briars. And God, if he wants to put up with that a long time, he can. He can bring us back. If he wants to cut it off, Whenever that time comes to cut that branch off and burn it up, he can do it. And then, by the way, we're talking about just a physical destruction there. He can do that. That's his prerogative. And so the writer encouraged, he gives them a grave threat, a grave reality. It could be all over for you. But he also gives them a grave hope. But God is a merciful God. And we've seen your hand in your life earlier when you first got saved. You endured a great fight of afflictions. And now we think he's going to be merciful to you if you'll turn. And so I think that to me is what I see in that passage from that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I pray that you would just bless us as we study this more. It certainly is. There's a lot of different views on this passage. but none of them would suggest or go against the many chapters and verses that teach that we're safe in you, that our salvation is eternal. Matter of fact, they would they'd go right along with the teachings about how we're supposed to serve you and how you chasten those that you love. And part of that chastening, Lord, we understand from your word, even can be physical death, as it was with the church at Corinth when they were abusing the Lord's Supper and such. You are God. You are sovereign. You have that right. And we are to honor you with a loving, respectful fearfulness in that idea that you hold the keys of life and of death. And help us to humbly serve you and not take your love for granted, dear God, but to be servants and to be growing, dear God, as you give us opportunity, Lord, that we might glorify your name. And Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.